Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, heading into the Christmas season. Very excited about this. Excited to be here with you with a great panel of folks for our roundtable today. But heads up, later on in the show, I will be back. I'm actually asking and answering a question from a listener this week about being awkward around guys. So I've had my share of awkwardness, so I will weigh in with some experience and some hopefully some wisdom on that end. And then our friend Rebecca St. James is here for our culture segment to talk about her book, What Is He Thinking? Of course, you know that she just got married this year around Easter. So we were very excited for her and got to celebrate with her and congratulate her during this interview as well. And then she talks about this book and some of the interviews that she did leading up to that. So we hope that that is insightful. And so continuing in that theme of sorts, we have assembled a panel here to talk about dating patterns and relational habits and kind of hopefully breaking out of some of the dysfunction that we find ourselves in, or finding out that you're in dysfunction. Maybe some people need a little wake-up call for that. So lessons that we've learned in the process and things, maybe some tweaks that we've made, or maybe even a complete overhaul in this process. So with me is Martha to my right. Martha, hello.
Hi, Lisa.
So Martha's had a totally dysfunctional dating history, so we're going to just dig right into her life off the bat for sure. So no, I'm just teasing. So
it'll
be good. Yeah. So I just sometimes love calling her out on the show and making her just feel awkward. But Travis, now here's the real deal. Travis Williams is back.
Yo, the real deal. Yeah. I love it.
The real deal.
Hey, everybody
deal.
In Boundless Land. Yeah.
So this is basically like, hey, let's talk about bad relational habits. Call Travis. Let's have him on the show.
So, and it's true. It is actually very true and sad.
But it's okay. He's made it to the other side.
We
He's
made
got
progress.
A wonderful wife and two beautiful children. So he learned something. So we're going to hear hopefully what that is. And then my dear friend Jenna Croker is here with us. Jenna, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa.
A first timer to the show, but yes. Definitely someone who has great wisdom to share. She is a relative newlywed. Yeah. Give us the date. How long now?
About 9 months.
Okay.
Woohoo!
So not quite a year. Coming up on it. Had a wonderful wedding in the South. People
did.
Think that I malign the South here, and I do not.
Yes. Mississippi rocks. Mm-hmm.
Mississippi wedding. She was back for that. And so...
When you were saying the South, I was actually not picturing Mississippi. Here I'm thinking like the Bahamas.
And oh.
Wow. Well, Mississippi is
one of those
of the
southern
Bahamas.
Weddings.
Yeah. A real southern wedding. Yes. So
shotguns.
So yeah. She is here. So we're going to throw this out. And of course, obviously, the way that we always do this is just as if we were sitting in a living room shooting the breeze and sharing our own experiences and wisdom. And hopefully those of you listening in will glean something from this. So the first thing I want to throw out is when you guys began dating back in the day, maybe it was recently, maybe it was years and years ago. Did you feel like this was something that should come naturally to you? Did you just figure you find people you like, you go out with them, and then something's going to happen? If you decide you want to marry them, you're going to marry them, and it'll be an easy process. What were your thoughts, like if you can think back that far as what dating would look like for you?
For me, if I, you know, think back when you first started dating, you thought, oh yeah, you know, there'll be all these kind of guys and it'll be fun and, you know, it'll be kind of a friend thing. And, it wasn't like that. For me in particular, it just didn't come easy. You know, I thought, oh yeah, it'll be great, but it wasn't. And, it was awkward and it was uncomfortable. And then you start seeing kind of your flaws to kind of start to come out a little bit in that, you know, you're insecure. And for me, it was just, it wasn't easy. It wasn't fun. And so then it became stressful because you didn't want to be the only one not dating or...
Did you feel like you weren't putting your best foot forward? Like who you really were didn't come out?
Yeah. You know, you don't want to maybe reveal who you are. You don't feel comfortable doing that. So you're kind of putting on this image that you want to be. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily who you really are, but kind of who you want to be. And so, and that just starts bringing all the stress about.
Mm-hmm. I didn't date in high school or college. And so my first date was probably in my mid-20s. And I always kind of assumed, because I believe that dating was the purpose of finding a spouse, that first person I date is probably going to be the person I marry, was, I think, really was my hope. And that didn't happen.
Yeah. I think I, like with me, someone who, you know, I think a lot of people out there think, oh, Lisa, it's so easy for you to talk to people and whatever, and surely this process was easy. But I think to myself, I think my misperception was I just figured that everyone that I dated, I would really like and really be into. And I was not mm-hmm. prepared for the dates where you're just like, okay, this is going to be a long evening. And what do I want to say to this person? What do I, you know, and then you're just kind of like stuck, you know? So I think I just assumed, oh, there would be these fireworks and everyone would be so amazing. And it would just, we'd hit it off and conversation would be easy. And then I was like, this isn't easy. This is difficult.
Yeah. Chick flick influence probably mm-hmm. is what you see yeah. portrayed.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I knew the guys that I liked, you know, but sometimes the ones I didn't really like were the ones asking me out. And then I felt like, okay, well, you know, give them a chance, you know, and then you're just like, oof, this really, that whole idea of, you know, this us really not hitting it off. It really does happen. So,
you know, for me, I don't know if it was, I mean, I definitely had the fairy tale kind of thing going on, but there was also the, I felt like it was normal to have a girlfriend and it wasn't as normal not to have a girlfriend. And so we're talking about breaking bad patterns and things today, and I'm recognizing that it was relatively easy to get into a relationship in one sense. I mean, and really in many ways it can be very easy if that's all you really want is a relationship. But I don't know if I was always pursuing kind of the right relationships for the right reasons. And so I can find myself busting into different patterns, but I won't jump into all of that until we get asked the question from Lisa. Well, right. Let's just hold on, people.
Well, and then
stick around.
So that's what I'm going to ask next is when then did you realize that some of this was falling apart? I mean, because obviously if you're like Martha and thinks this first person that you're going to date is the person you're going to marry, well, no, all of a sudden you meet people and you go out with them and it doesn't click and either you're super bummed because you really liked them and they don't like you in return, or then you start self-questioning and you're just wondering, what in the world am I doing? I mean, did you find yourself getting caught in a cycle that you realized probably wasn't good?
Yeah, for me, since I've just bridged that gap right there, I mean, looking back, here's kind of what happened, I think, with me is that because I really thought that part of being like a cool guy, at least at that time, it's not cool anymore to have a girlfriend, you know, but at the time it was cool to have a girlfriend. And so I really wanted that. I pursued it. And I actually think that for me, one of the bad habits or patterns that I notice is I kind of like the challenge. I like the challenge of a girl who I could tell there was something fun potentially between us, and then pursuing that and almost making up a fanciful relationship in my mind, and only to, you know, 9 months later be kind of the bad guy where I was breaking it off with the girl. So ladies, you're getting the twisted side of guys in it.
Well, so why did you break it off? Did it just run its course? The whole thing didn't play out in your head?
Yeah, I think that's it. Part of it just ran its course, and part of it, I just realized, I was like, I don't know if I could see myself with this person. And so those are things that I kind of look back and go, man, I think looking at kind of the root, as I was looking at just some notes, a word kind of came out to me, there was a certain insecurity in me. And I think all of us can probably attest to somewhere in our bad relationship patterns, one of the roots is insecurity. Mm-hmm. Whether we're looking at, like for me, it was like, okay, well, I'd like to have somebody, this seems like kind of a person, because of my insecurity, I really need to pursue her because it helps me feel better that I actually accomplished my challenge of now this girl's my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And this is sounding very wrong.
So that kind of alludes to the dynamic that I don't understand. Like, I hear a lot from guys, and I just don't understand this. And I don't
Sorry,
think
ladies.
Women do. Is this whole idea of she's girlfriend material, but she's not wife material?
Right.
What is that about? Like, why?
No, I actually think that some of these people I thought would be like my wife in a sense. Like, it's not like I was just going. I wasn't thinking like, hey, I just want to date this person just to date. I mean, I really think that there was the intentions of, hey, maybe this could really go someplace. So in my mind at that time,
okay.
This is going back, you know, obviously I've had some time to reflect and think about where, you know, those relationships went awry. Why was I finding myself kind of in that pattern. But at the time, I don't think that anybody could look at me and be like, oh, you're just insincere. You're a, you know, church Mac. Nobody would have ever, you know, put those kind of labels on me. They would just be like, dude, Travis is everything that Boundless is about. He's a go-getter. He pursues a gal. He makes them feel really special and beautiful. The problem was that the pattern would break apart. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, there would be some broken hearts along the way.
Okay.
As Travis mentioned, you know, the insecurity, and sometimes when you date, that you feel like that brings you security. And I know that was a pattern that I showed, is that it's just insecure. And when you start to date, and it kind of brings you some security, it kind of gives you a little bit of an identity that maybe you didn't have before from, you know, being a girlfriend or that sort of thing. And, you know, as I look back on those dating days, I was often infatuated with the guy. And when I was so infatuated, I couldn't really step back and really give a good evaluation, even of myself and even of the guy that I was going out with. And so that's where the vulnerability comes in. That's when you kind of start making bad decisions, and the insecurity of, I can't let this relationship end. It almost is a failure thing, and you don't want to fail at a relationship. And so those are some of the patterns that just constantly would come up in my dating experiences.
Mm-hmm. Did you find yourselves dating like the same types of people? Like, was there at one point a wake up call where you're like, why do I keep dating the same type of person when obviously over and over again, this is not working out?
There was one moment, a mentor of mine, you know, we're talking about girls, and I was totally infatuated with, you know, most of the girls that I dated. And he brought up a great point, and some of it's probably just because of being a Christian, is that I had this pattern of wanting to be a redeemer for other ladies, in a sense. So I found myself in the pattern of wanting to date people who were great people, but I was kind of like the knight in shining armor, helping to rescue them, mm-hmm. in a sense, or helping them to live their life more fully. And they were sweet gals. I mean, it's not like they were like broken beyond repair or anything. I mean, they would have never thought of themselves that way. But he could recognize that that's kind of the person. And he'd be like, well, what are they giving back to you, Travis? And I stopped and I was going, that's a great question. Not that it's about me. I want to be giving. But at the same time, I'm giving a ton. Like, I'm just trying to keep the ball rolling, and they're not really putting much wind back into my sails. They're not challenging me, encouraging me spiritually or whatever. Does that make kind of any sense? So that was a pattern that I recognized, that as a Christian guy, I wanted to be the knight in shining armor for these girls who I knew wanted to have a knight in shining armor.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that happen a lot, especially spiritually. Like, guys will go for a girl who maybe is younger in the faith or whatever, so that he can be that person who's kind of like leading her in that sense, but it's not really going to require a lot of effort from him because he's always a little bit ahead. So to take on a girl who really has a vibrant faith of her own and is really following hard after the Lord, that can be pretty intimidating because he's like, whoa, I got to step up my game. I got to get, you know, and so I've kind of seen that, but then that fades a little bit too, because then it becomes, you know, there's just a little bit of an
right. Yeah, in that scenario, if there was somebody who was really strong, it's weird though, because some of the gals that I pursued in those were the gals that you would almost perceive as strong, and sometimes so this is where I think it's kind of the twisted irony of life, is that sometimes the people that you perceive as the strongest are sometimes the most insecure. Mm-hmm. And those that you perceive as not the strongest are actually probably the most secure, because they're comfortable with kind of who they are. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to show off and be, you know, the center of attention or whatever. So I was drawn to those people that were kind of like myself, very standout-ish, you know, among the crowd. But then you get those kind of people into a dating relationship, is that you know, some of those insecurities start flushing forward.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it seems like the things that can be strengths for us, when it comes down to actually putting them into practice in a dating relationship, they can become weaknesses or they can become overdone. I think you'll see, those of you that read the e-newsletter, one of the things I talked about is I will often go into interview mode in a date, and all of a sudden, and it's because I'm naturally interested in people, naturally curious, and I want to find out about someone, and I'm pretty direct. So I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to maximize my time and find out all I can about this person at one. And then all of a sudden, I'm just totally Diane Sawyer, and I'm like, the one who told me, you know, and let's talk about your specific theological bent, and let's talk about, you know, and they're just like, whoa, I just wanted to maybe, you know, talk about my Saturday. And so,
well, they say people like to talk about themselves. So, I mean, asking questions, I think, is important.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a fine line where it gets too much.
Some people have the opposite extreme of talking too much about themselves. You know, I probably go a little bit, or I'll get a little too like anecdotal. Like I'll say, you know, someone will say something and I'll get into like this storytelling mode that people are just like, okay, Burlives, you know, you can maybe stop there. So, and then I just realize, wow, I had someone, and this was a great learning point for me, when someone finally told me, Lisa, there's something to be said for preserving some mystery. You don't put everything out on the table at once. Totally. You don't ask everything about them. You don't disclose everything about yourself. And I think that's something I really had to learn.
I think that's a difficult balance. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's where wisdom comes into play, because you don't want to throw it all out on the table. But yet, if you're taking 9 months to figure out if this is a person that you should be with or shouldn't be with, there's probably something wrong with that pattern as well. And so I think some of the ways that we compensate is we go to one extreme or the other. So we start off with a bad pattern of maybe interrogating people, and then we move to, like, actually, I don't think it ever goes that way. I think we start off on the bad pattern of, hey, I just want to date. Let's just kind of see where this goes. I don't want to ask too many questions. I don't want to ask too much about his faith or anything. And then 9 months later, you go, wow, really? This is not going to work. And now you've invested things, and so then you have a rough heartbreak too. question. All right, well, I guess we know what we're talking about. Let's go ahead and close down this relationship before it even began. I think there's a spot of wisdom in there, but recognizing those patterns, I think, is an important thing.
So any big aha moments that you guys had? I mean, let's talk about what we finally did right. I mean, things that we actually learned, things that we grew in, things where maybe someone who was older stepped in and said something to us. Were there any light bulbs that went off and you realized something needs to change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I had a huge light bulb. I had always done, I don't know, many, probably some of you listeners do the same thing, and I had a list. You know, my must-haves list or can't-have list. And so, you know, I'd always kind of refer back to that list. I might update it, you know, as the years went by, you know, as you hopefully gain some maturity in this dating thing. And so a pattern of mine was I would kind of deviate from the list. And so a friend of mine named Jenny, I watched her go through an incredible dating relationship, and just her faith was so strong in that, and she set such high standards. And I'm like, your standard a little too high, you know, maybe you should come down off of those. But I watched God provide a guy for her. Then she's now married, she has a baby. And I was so inspired by her and her desire not to compromise. Mm-hmm. And so that spoke so much for me. And so I went back to my list and I said, okay,
And we should clarify, we're talking about good non-negotiables here.
Yes,
he has to have wavy blonde hair.
Right. Exactly. You know, some of those qualities would be, I think, that we would all agree to. And I kind of said, okay, if this incredible thing can happen for Jenny, it can happen for me too. And so that's when I kind of even raised the bar a little bit and just committed that I would not deviate from that. And so, you know, I feel like I've told my friends this a lot. I feel like God just intervened in my life and brought David, my husband, to me you know, we probably started dating less than a year after that I had made that commitment. So I just really appreciate Jenny's boldness and her setting an example for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you were even, when I talked to you at one point, you know, you were very, you know, you really didn't care if you ever dated again.
Yeah.
I mean, you were, yeah. You said you were just done. I mean, you come off of a hard relationship and one that had super ups and downs and a lot of questioning and re-questioning and stuff. And you were just exhausted.
I was. And I realized that God had given me so much. And I was at a point where I could actually be thankful for the life that I had. And it was really great. Mm-hmm. And I think I had just gotten to that point where I could kind of relax about it and enjoy some of the great blessings.
That's cool. Well, awesome thoughts, you guys. I think that's helpful for people out there and encouraging. And Travis, I didn't get you to...
No, just be encouraged. I think that the point, one of the patterns that I've seen with most people, when they finally find that mate, is they've addressed the bad patterns to a certain degree. They've thought through the negative things that they've done in their mind, and they've actually stopped playing the game. In a sense, there's almost a surrender where it's like, God, I have messed this up on my own so many different ways. And some of it's because my own insecurities. Some of it's because of how I want others to view me, which is also kind of a deeply rooted insecurity, and saying, okay, here we are. I can be secure with kind of where I am. And it's weird how God somehow starts breaking through. I know I don't want to create a conflicting message of chasing after, but wrestling with that. If you're going and doing things without trying to create that insecurity, then you're probably on the right track. But if there's something deeply rooted within that, then I don't know. So stop playing the game.
All right. Well, thanks, you guys, for weighing in on this and good discussion and a great discussion starter, I think, for people that maybe were like, you know, hey, I don't even know what my problem is, or I don't even know what's going wrong with this. So hopefully that'll give you something to think about. And of course, we're heading into a new year, so there's always time for new beginnings and new starts in this process. So.
Hey, we want to hear from you, though, too. Like, get on the blog, talk about it, comment, and we'd love to hear about some of the patterns that you've recognized. I think that helps everyone.
Yeah. And speaking about hearing from you, I did want to give a shout out because we have started to receive Christmas cards from people, and we are very excited about them. We have a spot in the office where we're starting to put them up. And so I want to thank Rebecca Lewis and Jesse Phillips and Grant Young. And let's see, who else have we gotten cards from? Some of them are cute. Someone sent us an advent calendar. That was super cute, too. Katrina Stone, thank you so much for writing to us. Let's see. Oh, Danielle Ingram, she even put her photo in it, which was very awesome. I feel like I'm on doing the romper room, like with the NIC so-and-so, NIC so-and-so. Jessica Thrasher from Kentucky, we love her. And some newlyweds, Rachel and Grant DeRue. Rachel has been a long time, I know, listener to the podcast. So very fun to hear from her. Also, we got a letter, handwritten letter. It is from Alexander from Tucson, and he actually enclosed a gift for Boundless as well. So very excited at the year-end giving. Of course, Travis is part of our development area, so he's excited to hear about that.
Yes.
So
we can't do this without your support, and we appreciate it so much.
Absolutely.
If you give to Boundless, hopefully it'll just help the ministry to stay vibrant for many years to come.
It does. And it's investing in marriages and helping people prepare for marriage and helping you all move along that continuum.
Amen.
Yay. Thanks, guys.